We're in lesson 27 in the book of Daniel, and as we think about the things that we already talked about a little bit, we're at the point in the book of Daniel chapter 3 and verses 13 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king." As we know that he set up an image, and he told everybody that they had to bow down, right, when they heard the music and stuff. Verse 14, "Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, It is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up." Verse 15, "Now if ye be ready, that at what time of ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the subic, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and who is that God shall deliver you out of his hands?" Now, in verse 15, they're going to give Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego another chance. Okay, that's what they're going to do. And what we just read, he says, if you worship, that's good. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Now, did they say, give us 10 minutes to think about this? Did they say, let us have a conference together and decide what we need to do? They gave the answer, and it was no. They came right back with that answer. And Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, 18. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve the gods nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up." You talk about putting somebody on the spot here, right? Mm-hmm. You know what they're saying. And Nebuchadnezzar says, you know, basically, let's be reasonable about this. Uh-huh. I'm getting ready to burn you. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's no big thing. It doesn't cost any money. Just bow down. That's all I'm asking. Just bow down. As a lot of people do that, you know that? Mm-hmm. To save their own necks, to save their reputation, they just bow down. And so if you don't believe in this, you know, you basically, it's between a rock and a hard place. You know, you're putting me in a bad situation, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because I'm sure he liked them. Wasn't they in a position in chapter 2? And that type of thing. So they're kind of hard to do. So it's just, you know, just want to be reasonable. But those three guys, Nebuchadnezzar, basically said, we don't need a conference. We don't have to be careful to answer you. And we're not worried about this. Go to Luke chapter 38 and get Matthew chapter 10. The word careful is used in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Hold your hand there in Daniel. Put you something there. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. "Now come to pass, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me alone, served alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about these many things." You see that word careful? Mm-hmm. You are anxious. You are worried. And you know, you're uptight. You're fretting about something about dinner time.
I heard too, it's full of care.
Careful, okay. And they're trying to set the dinner table. That means full of care. Just what Howard just said. And it's full of concern. You know, you're like careful about things. And that's the like the verse in Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. You're not supposed to be anxious for anything. It's hard, isn't it? And the word is taking talking about being anxious and trouble and upset, full of care, full of concern. But these boys were not anxious. We call them boys for some reason, little Hebrew children. You know, they was in a position, they were men, okay? They might not have been men like I'm looking out here now, but the same thing, there wasn't little, you know, 13-year-old guys. And they wasn't upset. Another passage, Matthew chapter 10, verse 18. Verse 18. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for the testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. You see that? It says not to take any thought about it. You see that? That's the same kind of idea. I'm not going to take thought about what I'm going to say. If I get caught, I know exactly what I'm going to say. Okay? I'll give you for instance. Many of you know where Mount Eaton is on 250? And where 94 takes off to Dalton? Or they call it Dalton. Okay? Okay? You start down the hill, and you get your speed up. Next thing you know, you go into like a 35-mile-an-hour curve. I mean, it hits you in the dark of the morning. Boom. So I'm coming down through my truck and trailer the other night or other morning, and that curve came up on me, and before I knew it, I'm like, whoa, I'm going too fast, so I hit my brakes. And all of a sudden, that thing goes, dee-dee-dee-dee. I'm like, I'm being recorded. Okay? And I applied the brakes. And if not, that truck would apply the brakes. You with me? It's what do you call it?
Bendix assist or something?
Yeah, the collision migration. So, but I applied the brake. Next day, boss said, hey, what time are you coming in here in the morning? And he goes, I said, what's up? He goes, you had a hard braking incident. That's what they call it, hard brake. And I'm like, yep, I did. Was it such and such and such and such? And he said, yeah. I said, well, what am I going to say? Am I going to be careful, or am I going to say the truth? Yep, I did exactly what. And my answer was, I was thinking of where I was going and not looking where I was at. You with me? Mm-hmm. I was thinking that far ahead. So that was my answer. Yes, he wrote me up. You know, they had to do that, you know. Yeah, but still, you know, it was one of those things that I could have, I'm not writing it. I'm not saying it. I didn't do it. I did it. So that's the way we should be when we, you know, because you're not going to lie. I mean, you can lie for so long, right? It's going to get you. But look, this is the kind of idea. Take no thought. We aren't worried or upset about it. We're not mulling over it. And we're not getting bent out of shape. Now, many of us do, don't we? We get bent out of shape on some things. And I'm trying to learn as I get older, there's some things you ain't got control over. I worry about everything. I worry about if you guys was going to be here today. I was worried about if the building was going to be unlocked. You know, that type of thing. I worry about getting here. I worry about riding with my wife 65 miles. But anyway, no. But you know, doesn't have to be a conference, guys. You give a straight answer about the situation, you won't have any problems about what is going to happen here. And that's a rarity in a lot of ways, because I want to share something with you. And I was hoping a couple more people was here today, but they for $3.99 they can get this tape and re-listen to it. We have a lot of brethren out there dabbling in the global earth and the flat earth, okay? And it's come to my attention that we have other brothers out there that's really doing, you know, going into it with full force. And what has happened, you know, over the years, a lot of them has tried to forcefully share some things with me. And I've looked into this type of stuff, and this is where I'm going not to be careful. See? And it's not to be ugly. And I found out in a lot of things, people don't want to know what you want to know. They don't want your opinion. They're going to tell you about their opinion. And a lot of it goes right along with conspiracy, whether it's flat or round or whatever. But look, the same with the global view. And some of them aren't asking for scriptural or your opinion, but they want to push their views on you. And I don't want to lose saints out there. And I'm talking about whether in Florida or California or Virginia or Tennessee or here. And when people are really sincere and they're looking at some things, you need to look where they're at in their heart, because they really want to know. You know, just like you really want to know when you started, when somebody's sharing right division with you, you're like, yeah, right. But it started hitting you, right? And the verses and stuff. So I don't want to lose these people when they're searching, really searching for truth. So do you be careful of how you answer? Or do you leave them with the thought that they're right and you're wrong, that type of thing? You with me? Like, because I know people says, come up to me and say, hey, if you know this stuff, why don't you do this, this, this? Well, I don't preach that. So look, what is our reason that we're still on this planet as saved people? We are what?
Ambassadors
for Christ. We have a purpose on this life. And it's much more important for somebody to hear the gospel that saves them than it is if it's the earth is round or flat. With me? And I've watched people and they get away from the doctrine, and next thing you know, they're going to other churches and they start believing other Bible versions. And then you really lost them. So here's something I want to share with you guys. When we do the Father's will, it's to make all men see and come to the fellowship of the mystery while we're here. We are to share the good news that Christ died for our sins and buried and rose again. That's what saves people. It's not wallowing around over here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and doing what Jesus did. You cannot do what Jesus did. So why in the world are you going to tell? People say you can, yes, you trust that Christ died. You hear Paul's gospel that Christ died and buried and rose again, but yet you've got to live like Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can I share something with you? They could not live like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So how in the world are you going to do it? And how in the world are you going to let somebody in your life that's standing up here tell you you've got to do that? And many of us are guilty of that. I'm preaching to the choir here. But look, God does not tell us about the cosmetology of the earth. He don't tell you if it's flat. He don't tell you if it's round. And so here are some verses that I'm not careful to share with you, them, or anybody. So here's the thing. If you believe it's round, you're incorrect. If you believe it's flat, you're incorrect. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Get Ecclesiastes. You got to see this verse. And get Ecclesiastes chapter 8. These two verses right here settled it for me. And I forgot about these verses. Okay? And it may help you, or it may not help you. I think it's before Solomon.
It's after Proverbs.
After Proverbs, okay?
Well, some Solomon.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you have a right Bible, it's page 698. But look, so if you believe in one of these things, both of you are wrong. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says this. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the what?
Yeah.
No man can find out the work.
It's pretty powerful.
Yes, it's powerful. Look, what's the beginning? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning. So from the beginning to the end, you're not going to find out those things. Here's another powerful one. That used to settle right there for me. But look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 17. You there? Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because through a man's labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to what?
Find it.
If you think you can find it, guess what it just said? You shall not be able. So we need to get on with the program, okay? We don't need to be worried about and get bogged down. And I know I've got friends that's bogged down, and I don't want to lose them because I see them getting alienated in the doctrine. You may not understand a lot of this stuff. I do. I get bombarded with all this stuff. You guys can just sit back and drive through your Sunday school, No. You need to know some things that you may become up against sometime. So we need to get on with the program, right? So those two verses right there, if you really believe those verses, you're not going to find it. I was told in this verse that if you go searching for the heavens, God's going to move it. People's going to the moon, Mars, wanting to find heavens. I believe that's what the Tower of Babel was all about. It wanted to get to the heaven and be up there in the heaven part. And God said, boom. He will move it. You're not going to find it, guys. So we just need to encourage people, study it out. So that's my answer. I'm not going to be careful saying, yes, you're right, you're wrong. This is the answer. Back to the Hebrew men. Chapter 3.
I just want to say.
Go ahead.
And it doesn't really have anything to do with that, but this morning I went through McDonald's, and she was tearing the paper off her straw. And she said something, and she goes, all these people out here are worrying about saving the turtles. She said, there are so many other people. She said, think of all the people out here that need saved.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Mm-hmm. And what turtles are going to save around here? Mud turtles?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. But anyway, look, back to the Hebrew guys. Chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Verse 17 says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. Now look, they aren't concerned. They're not in a sweat. They're not going to be diplomatic. They're not going to try to join hands and sing Kumbaya. You with me? And many of us have been guilty of this, guys. I have too. But they're concerned about bowing down to an idol that God said not to. And Nebuchadnezzar says, guys, let's be reasonable here. Just go along with me. But they said, no. We're not going to bow. They said that God is going to deliver us. And the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace. If not, if he lets us burn up, guess what they're not going to do?
Bow down.
They're still not going to bow down. Man, I don't know about you guys. This is serious stuff right here. That's the same difference. If you know this gospel now, that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, and you know that you have a distinct ministry in the Apostle Paul, that his ministry is different than any other ministry on earth, and that God is dispensing grace and a dispensation of grace. He's with peace with the world right now. He's not bringing down wrath and judgment and causing calamity on you and all that stuff. If you don't do this, God's going to get you. That's that scare tactic. He's with peace with the world right now. Do you know one day that's going to end? That's why we have a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in the world in Christ, reconciling the world back to who? Him. Not you and I, that we can live in bliss. that we don't have to mow our yard no more, and your tomatoes plants is this big around, you know, that type of thing, and fruit, no. He is not dispensing wrath today. So that's what we need to tell people. Hey, right now is a chance to get saved. You may not have that chance tomorrow. And you may not have a chance when you die. So, listen. I shared this in times past. I'm going to share it again. But if not, they're not going to buy. How many know about World War II? Okay, what happened in Europe? And you know who Adolf Hitler was? He had a country and he was powerful, right? He was just like a machine. And he was ready to wipe out the British forces trapped in Dunkirk. And the British Navy officer cabled a distress signal back to London, and it contained a three-word code. Many of you know what it was? Okay? It's just simple and it was urgent. It was three words that he radioed back. Remember what it was?
God save the queen? Or?
But if not.
Same words as in this right here. But if not. Verse 18. But if not. That's what he radioed back. That's probably what they said before they died. But look. And if you don't recognize that code, you're not alone in the 21st century. But those three words brought about the bravest, the unorthodox, successful rescue of an army in any pages of history. And the Admiral Ramsey, who was chosen to attempt the Dunkirk rescue, and I know there was a movie out not too long ago, and I think Howard saw it, and he's waiting on those three words, but I don't think they brought it. But look, he ordered all the civilian fishermen, pleasure and commercial craft between 30 and 100 feet length to report to Dover to join the Navy for the rescue. There was 850 crafts arrived with civilian owners and crew volunteered to man their own crafts. So they just didn't say you can have it. They're going with them. Here's something else. They only had one day to complete the rescue, and that would only rescue 45,000 people out of approximately 365 troops. And they departed, when they departed from Dover, and something unexplainable happened, that the general of the German army was ready and surrounded Dunkirk and ready to attack with a large tank force. I mean, he's going to just wipe them out. And Hitler stopped it. He halted it. It made that general really, really mad. And he ordered a stop on the outskirts of Dunkirk, and the guy was furious. And instead of one day, 45,000, they had 9 days, and they rescued 338,226 British and French troops.
Right. Huh? The stars weren't right.
Well, whatever astrology. It was, the sun didn't stop.
He didn't want to fight this. The astrologer said, "Don't fight
today." So it brought them back. If not, but the thing was, but if not, we're not surrendering. That's the thing about that. And if you think about in that time period, every evangelical, Protestant, Christian person in Europe read their Bibles. They knew what those words were. They knew what Shadrach, Meshach was against. So what about you and I? When we're up against something that somebody's going to throw a brick in their face or close the doors because they don't want to hear nothing we got to say, are you just going to bow down and worship them? Or are you going to say, but if not? You know, but if not, God's going to deliver me. He's done promised me. See, I have a hope. A lot of people don't have a hope. You know, I have a hope that God's going to take me out of here. Whether I'm dead, whether I take that dirt bath, or where I'm alive. Either or, I'm gone. I have a hope. I have a verse that tells me I'm saved from the wrath to come. I'm not going through this tribulation period. Like a lot of people say they are. Churches preach that all the time. You know when I believe that when they preach that you're going through a tribulation period and you better walk worthy and you better do this, you know what that is? That's a fear tactic to keep you controlled. How much liberty is it that you know that you're safe from a wrath to come? Not that you can go out there and do whatever you want to do, right?
Right.
But you got a liberty to say, listen, I've got a verse, Romans tells me I'm saved from the wrath to come. What wrath is he talking about? What wrath was John the Baptist talking about over here? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? What wrath was he talking about? This right here. That's the wrath of God coming pouring out on them because what they did over here. Let's keep reading. We're not, Romans, back to the Hebrew men there. We're going to trust him. Hey, give a straight answer. We're going to trust God. And that's example of a clear conscience. You know that? I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to trust the Lord and deliver him. And if you have a clear conscience, you're not trying to con people. You're not just trying to serve God and do whatever he wants you to do. But you give a clear, straight answer about some things. I hope I'm that way when it comes to dispensational truths. I've been in battles. People have been in front of me, behind me, biting me, slapping me, hitting me, writing things. You know, just beating you up. But the thing is, you stand for the truth. You know, I mentioned this before. The last 25 years or so that we've been in this truth, the people that started out with us over the years are no longer believe this. You know, so it's a marathon. Is it a marathon? Yeah, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You grow and grow and grow. And as more as you grow, you're going to hit. There's some things that's going to hit you, man. They're going to hit you. And you're going like, I got a brick wall. But you still stand there. But look. Here are two examples of different kinds of answers. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Get Matthew chapter 1, 21 and Matthew 17. Here's two examples of two type of answers. The Bible is full of psychology. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Let me turn there myself. What do you know about the book of Matthew? What's that? Yep. Portrays Jesus Christ as the king. So if it portrays Jesus Christ as the king, you got, in order to be a king, you've got to have what?
Kingdom.
So how was his kingdom when he came in the book of Matthew? He came on a white horse and they put him in a palace and
no.
It was distorted, wasn't it? Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Verse 23 says, and when he was come into the temple, and the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, by what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Now you look at that and you're like, do they even know who he's talking about? Well, you know who he's talking about. But look, and Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Verse 25, question here. The baptism of John. Whence was it? From heaven or of men? That's an easy enough question, right? Mm-hmm. You think they knew who John the Baptist was? You think they had an opinion about that? You better believe they did, yeah. They had an opinion about that. Watch what they say. And they reason with themselves, saying, if we say, shall say, this is verse 25 through 27. If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a what? Prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. Now, is that a being careful with the answer or just no?
Yeah, they were.
You know, they knew good and well what was going on here. And do you know where they were at? They were? What they were? They was a bunch of deceitful, abrasive, self-preserving lovers of men's praises. That's what they was worried about. Now, if you look back and think about some of the churches y'all might have went in, you probably couldn't identify to some of these people. They wouldn't rock the boat. You know, they preached what you wanted to hear with tickling ears. And when you had a correct answer, if you went back to them right now and said, hey, why don't you preach Paul's distinct ministry to us today? You know what they tell you? Most of the time they give you right for the fellowship. They would just discredit you. Who are you? That type of thing. But look. They was just willfully ignorant. There's one thing about being ignorant. And ignorance is not a bad word. I know back in the day you called me ignorant, that was fighting words. But what's a root word of ignorant? You got that? You hear that? The root word of ignorant is ignore. You put blinders on that horse to why? So he will ignore everything around him. Okay? And he just stays focused. So you ignore this. And you want that. So willfully ignorance, they were ignorant. They wasn't just ignorant. And that's why the Bible says if they be ignorant, they be what? Let them be ignorant. Willful ignorance is different. They sit there and try to figure out what was going to cost them the least and then decide we cannot tell. So when you willfully ignore, once you see this and you willfully ignore it, that's not good. See, I know some things in the law of driving. And I can willfully ignore, but you think that officer is going to give me a break? He looks at me and says, you should know this. You're driving what? This 80,000-pound vehicle, 73 feet long, longer than some people's houses, and you didn't know this bridge law? Or you went down this 10-ton road with me? Ain't no different than somebody in the ministry. You know, I can look out some of you guys right now. That when you got a hold of this message and you went to your spouses or vice versa, they didn't want to hear this. They wanted to ignore you. You know. And then when you showed them in the Word of God, said, listen, I plead you. I just consider this. I just want you to have free. And they willfully ignore. That's not a good thing. And I know a lot of preachers out there has willfully ignored this message to teach you. Thank God that you're not willfully ignoring it today, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, tomorrow it might be a different story, and then I have to come after you. I have to spank you. Now, just joking. But look, let's show another kind of answer. Do you see that type of answer, right? They willfully ignore. I cannot tell. They lied, didn't they? Because what are they going to lose? They're going to lose their riches. They're going to lose their Cadillac cars. They're going to lose their mansions. They're going to lose their $60 million airplanes. Have you ever thought about Peter, what kind of guy he was? You know Peter, who Peter was. Simon Peter. He didn't mess around either. In Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 24. And when they come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, do not your master pay tribute? He said what?
Yes.
He didn't say, let me think about it. Let me run back. Yes. And Christ read his mind when he came through that door and stopped before he could talk. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Who of whom do the kings of the earth take custom of tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him what? Strangers. Of strangers. He didn't mess around. He gave him an answer right then and there. No second guessing about what Jesus meant. He said that. He said, just as strangers. And Jesus said unto him, then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend thee, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish, the first come up, and when thou open his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take it and give it to them for me and what? There's enough money in there, not only for the master of the ass, he's going to pay for Peter too. Now, I got a little trouble with this when I preached this back in Matthew, and people says they take this and they said, okay, we're free children, we're God's children, we don't have to pay taxes. That's not what this is saying. Okay? And I know you know people that stands on that stuff. But do you see how Peter just spits out the answer without no messing around? No hesitation, he gave the answer. That's the way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, go back to Daniel, you want to get that capacity into your soul to just say, hey, I'm going to stand on what God says. That's why you got to have authority, don't you? You got to have a Bible in your own language. That's why people don't like the King James Bible, because it's about authority. Okay? And you've got to have authority in your life. I'm under authority at work. You was under authority in the military. You know, we all have authority. Some of you have your wife over your authority. I'm just joking. But anyway, you have authority. You got to have... That's what the whole theme of the Bible's about, guys. From the whole picture, from cover to cover, it's about authority over the universe. A throne over the universe. And Satan's fighting it and God's fighting it. And what I liked about God, he wrote a book in the language for me, and he says, here it is. Just trust it. Believe it. And I'm going to do the right thing. I'm not going to worry about the praises of men. And I'm not going to cut corners and push buttons and pull strings. I'm just going to be straight out. And I hope I'm that way with you guys. And I know sometimes you probably think, man, is he mad? No. It's serious stuff. This book, and each one of you got the doctrine inside of you, this book, you're speaking with authority of God. That should mean something, no? Yes. And I know the world says that you always have to cut corners, don't it? Or cover your backside. Hey, I could have got out and said all kinds of stuff about that heartbreaking, but no. I knew that if I lied or pretended it didn't happen, what's going to happen the next time something happens or they needed my word for it? You know what I'm saying? That's why just be straight. When it comes to the Word of God, just be straight with it. And we can talk about the Cleveland Browns, the Indians, all kinds of stuff, horses, mowing, whatever, all day long. Right? But that God's Word means something. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, we're not careful. We're not upset. We're just going to tell you what we think. We're not bowing down. And we're not going to bend. And we're not going to... And we don't think we're going to burn. They knew who they served, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And when you know that the book says, and you live your life day by day on the basis of what the book says, and not the traditions of men, and not what grandma and grandpa said, and not what Uncle Jack says, and not what Uncle Denny says, and all that stuff, and Aunt so-and-so... It's what God says. And I watched ourselves, our family, over the years when we continue to stand and our families are not. And they look at you and like, wow, you know, you're doing okay. That type of thing. It's not, you know, I don't mean like finances, that type of thing. I'm just saying we know who we are in Christ. And we have liberty. We've never been put under laws, that type of thing. You know, I look at my kids sometimes, and, you know, half of them shows up sometimes, sometimes they don't. But this is the only message they ever know. Ever know since they was that high. You know? And Abby too, yeah. And, you know, and watch them grow, and watch them mature in the Word. And when they make decisions, yeah, they're going to make some bad decisions sometimes. You know, and you're like, what did you do that for? And that type of thing. And you're like, I know why they did that. They're kin to me. You know, I made the same mistakes. So, you know, it's good to see that they're, you know, the other night we were sitting there talking, and it's funny that I'm talking to Josh, and he said, Dad, I just come to understand that half what you says is just talk. You know, I'm just listening to him. I said, you know what's going to happen one day, son, when I'm dead? you're going to say, this is what Dad used to say, and I know what he's saying now, you know, that type of thing. You know what I mean? It's just like you just watch that, because we did the same thing with your parents. You know, I watched that commercial. You ever watch that commercial on TV? And the guy starts turning into his mom.
Yeah.
You see that? And you know, he's starting to put a sweater on. And he's got glasses on. He's starting to knit. You know, and it's just, you know what, that type of thing. And his wife's sitting there looking at him, and he's turning into his mom doing it. Now, let me take care of you now. You know, that type of thing. It's really funny. That's the way sometimes we turn out. But we want to position ourselves who God wants us to be. And we store up his soul, and we build up in our life the doctrine that God has given us. And not to Israel. Then they're just talking about us right now. Not to a tribulations thing. Not to the Old Testament Jew, but as a member of the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace, you're different. You're not walking according to the law program. You're not walking to the authority of Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry of Israel only. You're walking to what God, through Paul, has done in the body of Christ. And you're under a mystery program. You're in the gospel of the grace of God. You're not in that program over there. And you know what you need to find out. And when you find out what these guys found out, that's how God is able to deliver you. He's going to deliver me from that. And look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Why? They're standing, aren't they? And the form of his visage and changed was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they would heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. You think he lost his cool?
Oh yeah.
You ever lost your cool? You ever heated that belt up or switch or, you know, 7 times? Hey, son, you better straighten up. It's going to be 7 times worse what you got last time. I've been all that down through that stuff. You know, we went to a CHL class last night, and they was talking about, you know, holsters for your weapons and stuff. And your belt needs to be just as good quality as the holster. Because that belt's what's going to hold that holster, right? So he had these big, thick belts. I'm like, I remember a belt like that. I went to school with a belt like that, you know, and that type of thing. You need to know that. Say, son, daughter, spare the rod, what? Spoil the child. And that's not abuse, guys. I'm not saying that like that. But look, he lost his cool. He was being very diplomatic and reasonable with a small bunch of Jews at one time, but they wouldn't pay attention to that social program. They didn't like the norms, what was going on. You know, I see some of us today, you don't have to like what's going on in the world. And it ain't getting better. I like to paint a good picture for the young ones back there. It's not getting better. So you need to stand. And they think they was right and everyone else is wrong. And Nebuchadnezzar got mad, and he was going to spit fire if he could. And Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into a burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and the other garments which cast in the midst of the burning fiery. You know what hosen is?
What is it?
What do you think it is?
Socks.
It's socks or?
Hose.
Yeah. Or britches. Okay, it's a German word, but it refers to hose, like lady hoses. Hosen. But this is described as a leather garment that covers the head, legs. So they're putting this stuff on now. Okay? You think it would be hot enough as it was. But they took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fully clothed, tied them up, and threw them in the furnace. Verse 22 through 25. Therefore, because the king commanded was urgent, and the fire is exceeding hot. The flames of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the son of who?
God.
Not only was an additional man in the fire, but also men was loose. What burned up there, guys?
The ropes.
They went in bound. And the ropes was bound, man, and they was burned out. Burned up. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand these things. We threw three men in there, and four of them was in there. They still have their coats on. And the fourth one looks like who?
Son of God.
The Lord. And he was puzzled. The only thing burned up was the ropes.
How did he know what the Son of God was?
Getting ready. That's a good question. Because look, where is it says Nebuchadnezzar saw one like the Son of God? And the New Bibles translate that into the says one like a Son of God's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So because the New Bibles say that Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan and he didn't know anything about the Lord. That's crazy. Because you already know what Daniel talked to him about, the dreams.
Right. Yeah.
And so here's the thing. If you think about Jeremiah, I looked this up last night. Jeremiah chapter 40. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote it to you a little bit. One of Nebuchadnezzar's army officers quotes the book of Leviticus of chapter 26 to the Jews in Jerusalem after they went to clean their plow down there. And he quotes Leviticus 26 to them saying, this is why we're coming down to here to Jerusalem and taking you away. And where did the heathen general learn the book of Leviticus? You ever thought about that? Hey, let me ask you. Where did you, the heathen, the Gentile, learn about the book of Paul? Or learn the book of the Bible?
Scriptures.
You had it in your possession. There was a time on this earth that the Word of God was out there to everybody. And this guy, if you read it sometime, this like the first three or four verses of Jeremiah chapter 40, that captain, that general, knew exactly what was going on. This is why we're taking you in captivity. You got sin in your life. You got worship. And the heathen general knew about the Leviticus. And don't you think Nebuchadnezzar knew about it? If that general knew about it? The Bible was published abroad, guys, and the Word of God was all over the world. Already out there. That's why when Paul says that this gospel was preached to every creature under heaven, and you're like, wait a minute now. The gospel of the grace of God has been preached to every creature under heaven. When did you hear it? You know, it was out there. But what has happened over the years, it's been watered down and adulterated because Satan hates this message. He hates the fact that what God is doing in the mystery program, he's taken a group of people made of dirt and placed them in positions of authority and over the heavens that Satan's in control of. Wouldn't you try to stop that message too? Wouldn't you try to make Bible versions out there? Thousands of Bible versions out there to delete the Word of God, take the blood of Christ out. Hey, you remember the spies that went into Rahab? And she said that everyone have heard about the God had done when he brought the Jews. That's in Joshua chapter 4, if I'm not mistaken. Brought the Jews out of Egypt. That he split the Red Sea. Now, that's why one time there was no other nation that did not know that God knew. That's why it's funny that God says to Israel, you're not supposed to be a reckon among the nations. You know that? What does the United Nations do? That's why Israel's not a nation. Well, Israel, according to the world, is a nation, but it ain't what God is doing or going to do. I'm getting ready to wrap up a little bit. That wasn't done in a corner under a bushel where no one knew it. The fame of God had spread abroad. They knew what he was going on. Nebuchadnezzar knew that. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4 says, "Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the winds in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in his garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is the name, and what is the son? What is his son's name, if thou can tell?" By the way, gather up the ends of the earth. Think the ends. If you want to do a little study, do a study on earth. It's land. He makes a distinction between the earth, the land, and the sea. So if you want to believe in where the earth stops, it's land. What's after that? Ocean, the sea. But look, if thou can tell us, do you see where it says, what is his name? He's talking about God Almighty. And what is his name if you are smart? Who is the son's name? Look at the next verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. "Every word of God is pure. He is the shield upon them that put his trust in him." What his son's name is, John 1:1, is what? In the beginning was the Word. That's the Lord, the Son of God. You with me? That's why John 5:7 says, three it bears witness: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word is Jesus Christ. So when you speak Jesus Christ and His words, you're speaking God Almighty. And this is just one of the interesting things that we can go back and look over and over and over. But there is not much distinction between the written Word and the living Word. You know that. Right? You've probably seen those comparisons, that the written Word of God and the living Word of God, who is that? Jesus Christ. So when the Word goes out, the information about the Lord Jesus Christ is going out. And when Nebuchadnezzar's in chapter 3 in the book of Daniel, talking about the one like the Son of God, and you look down to verse 28, when you see where he talks about God sending his angels and delivering his servants. I'm going to end there. Well, what is Genesis chapter 6? What do they call the angels in Genesis chapter 6?
Sons of God.
Sons of God. Nebuchadnezzar understood what angels are. He knows exactly what they are. And he's familiar with the sons of God. And that's what he is saying in verse 25 in Daniel, is the fourth man looks appear like he's a supernatural being out there. In fact, he's such a great one that he appears to be Son of God himself. And that's something, you know, you think about in there. The angel of the Lord is in there. The Lord himself's in there. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.